Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Kaya Limited Q3 FY22 earnings conference call hosted by Dolat Capital Market Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sachin Bobade from Dolat Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Nirav. On behalf of Dolat Capital, I welcome you all to the Q3 FY22 earnings conference call of Kaya Limited. Hope you all and your family are staying safe and healthy during this pandemic time. From the management side, we have with us Mr. Rajeev Suri, Global Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Rajeev Nair, Chief Executive Officer, Kaya Group. Mr. Saurabh Shah was supposed to join the call, but unfortunately, due to bad health, he could not able to attend. We pray for his speedy recovery. Now I hand the floor to the management for their opening remarks, and then we would have question and answer session. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good evening, everybody. Hope you are all doing well and your families are safe during this COVID period. I welcome you to the conference call on our company's behalf. Let me begin the conference call with a very short update on the third quarter performance of Kaya Limited, which is already in public domain and uploaded on our website, www.kaya.in. Kaya Limited posted consolidated revenue from operations of rupees 90.8 crores for the quarter ended 31st December 2021, a growth of 3% over corresponding quarter ended 31st December 2020. Consolidated EBITDA is rupees 11.7 crores in Q3 FY22 as compared to rupees 18.8 crores in Q3 FY21. Consolidated loss after tax and before exceptional items for Q3 FY22 is INR 8.2 crores as compared to INR 0.5 crores profit in Q3 FY21. Kaya India loss after tax and before exceptional items for the Q3 FY22 is INR 1.9 crores as compared to a profit of INR 2.6 crores in Q3 FY21. Kaya Middle East loss after tax and before exceptional items for the quarter three FY22 is INR 6.3 crores as compared to loss of INR 2.1 crores in Q3 FY21. I'll now take you through a short recap of the performance in both the markets for the quarter ended December FY22. The lockdown impacted the Kaya India business in Q1 and Q2 in line with the overall trends in retail industry. The Q3 quarter showed a major recovery in customer sentiment after 2 years of intermittent lockdowns. Kaya India had a very strong December, which helped us grow 11% in clinic collection for the quarter to pre-COVID levels, which is comparable to FY19. We registered our highest December sales ever with a business of 20.9 crores. The main reason for the growth in the business in the quarter was an increase in ATS amongst customers, that's average transaction size, which went up by 29% with strong performances in anti-aging and laser hair removal segments. Customer buying behavior towards these segments has seen a change after the second wave, with higher confidence amongst them with respect to expert dermat-led services that we offer. Laser hair removal has shown consistent growth with 37% uplift in sales in this quarter. Kaya's safety protocol, coupled with the long-term benefits of these services, motivated clients to take services, laser services from us. Anti-aging, which grew 11% over pre-COVID average, was propelled by innovations such as high-frequency ultrasound, which is HIFU, which is a recent introduction in India, with 10 machines being introduced in this year. New product launches like Retino Boost with a big success, accounting for 10% of the clinic product sales in November and December. Customer traffic during the quarter showed a steady improvement but was 86% of pre-COVID levels. Customer consumption per visit, however, showed an improvement of 2.98 sessions per visit versus 2.76 in the pre-COVID period. Referrals was a strong source of new customer counts. contributing to 39% of new customer collection. Overall customer metrics like NPS showed steady improvements to 73 and Google reviews were at 46%, which were both positive. E-commerce sales during the quarter was disappointing due to a change in the internal team structure coupled with low buying or sell in into major marketplaces in the month of November. The business, however, has recovered well in December and shows positive results thereafter. Clinic sales of products improved albeit slowly, where at 90% levels in December 2021. We expect this to reach normalcy with a climb in customer traffic, here on. Kaya Middle East, recap is as follows. Q3, Kaya collections was at 88% of pre-COVID levels. The quarter was impacted by COVID in December, 82% of pre-COVID level average, which brought down the quarter's performance. COVID wave in Dubai happened in December, unlike in India, where the major impact happened from Jan onwards. Saudi and Dubai continued to perform well and were above pre-COVID despite the market conditions. Abu Dhabi, Alain and Muscat had the biggest COVID impact due to the mall entry restrictions resulting in degrowth to pre-COVID average. Laser, which was driving the business, saw a decline due to market conditions leading to reduction of sales as well as customer flow. However, new services like Body grew 3.3x and plastic surgery 3x against the pre-COVID average. New client count at 94% of pre-COVID average in quarter, while existing client count continues to be an issue at only 78% of pre-COVID average. Ticket size remains positive over pre-COVID average, growing at 7% in the quarter. The detailed information update is already with you. I now open the session for questions and my colleagues and I will be glad to answer them. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The first question is from the line of Nandini Dubey from Paisa Paisa Information Solutions. Please go ahead.
Hello. Regarding the Q3 investor presentation, it feels like it's all about services and the growth in revenue from it. While in many previous calls, it was clearly indicated that the focus is on product. So has the focus changed for Kaya, or the product focus was only a short-term tactic to make money during pandemic? This is my first question. And my second question is, that I have observed that ORM or online reputation management by the Kaya marketing team is pretty loose. At many instances, we could see queries remaining unanswered, and at other times, we could see regular negative comments on social media being left as it is. Why isn't ORM or online reputation management given a priority as much as marketing by the Kaya marketing team?
Thank you very much for your question. I'll quickly reply to both of them. One is with respect to products versus services. Our focus definitely is on both the segments, and products still continue to be an important part of our strategy, both for the physical clinics as well as on online channels. However, because of the way the market was recovering from COVID, we saw a bigger traction in clinics for services during this quarter. With customers not having used services for quite some time, we saw some pent-up demand and we saw some improvement in terms of services. Because the overall traffic into the clinic still was at 86% of the normal average pre-COVID, that's why I think there was an impact in terms of the product sales in clinics during the quarter. So there was a negative sales in product business, but while services business actually grew. On the online channel, we had a sudden dip in primary sales in the month of November, which actually impacted sales. However, there was a recovery in the month of December, and we continue to invest energy, time, effort towards growing our online channels. Incidentally, we also launched our new website in the month of October, and we will continue to invest on that channel to develop our digital sales for products in India. On the second question that you mentioned on the online reputation management, yes, of course, there are multiple comments, queries that keep coming on various social media platforms. We have invested on technology, and we have also got a dedicated agency towards ORM. And all of the complaints actually get ticketed and gets controlled at a central CS department, and we reach out to all the customers who actually raise queries and negative reviews on online platforms. Of course, the intensity may vary depending on the type of platform that carries these reviews, but definitely there is a method to track these reviews, and responses are definitely given. That's my answer to the question.
Thank you.
Yeah. Is there anything else? Any other question?
That's it from my side.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Shrey, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. Hello, Rajiv sir. Congrats on the recovery on the clinic front. Am I audible?
Yeah, you're audible, yes.
Okay. So my question is more to do with the previous question that you just answered on products. You've indicated in the previous calls that over time, over the next 3-5 years, we intend to get our product mix as a percentage of the total revenue to about 40-45%, if I'm right. I remember you saying that in previous calls. Like you said, there has been a dip in the product sales. There was a dip in the product sales in the month of November. Why do you think that's happening? Why are we not able to position ourselves in a market which is becoming increasingly crowded day by day? That's my first question.
Yeah. So I don't think it is a matter of marketing intensity or efforts taken on the marketing fronts, but our clinic product sales are directly correlated to customer footfall, because we are not merely a business that works on pure walk-in and purchase on walk-in customers. They are appointment-based business. So since our traffic was at 86% of pre-pandemic levels, it did impact products much more, because you need a lot of footfall to be able to generate sales for products in the clinic. So that may be the reason there. On online, of course, there was high intensity advertising that actually probably happened during the quarter. We did invest money into the online platforms as well, but we did see a declining trend in the month of November, but we have recovered pretty well in the month of December. And I do expect this quarter to definitely see a better result on product vis-a-vis that. But on the social platforms, if you actually monitor our Facebook, Instagram accounts, there is a lot of high quality campaigns that have been run on product, and we continue to do so. So I would say it's an aberration because of the customer footfall in clinics that has impacted the product sales.
Okay, fair enough. Now that you've come to the online side, the social media angle, quite a lot of comments do not get answered on the social media platform itself, which are either negative or an inquiry. So that can give an impression to anybody looking at the post or the comment that, nobody is looking into it. Can we get into the practice of answering things publicly, maybe not disclosing rates, but responding to comments either depending on whatever the response can be? Because if we don't respond, it doesn't actually lead anywhere. It gives an impression to anyone reading it that nothing is happening.
Yeah. share, point taken. I take it as a feedback.
Sure.
But as I mentioned to you, there is an ORM agency, and definitely there is a CS department in the business which responds to all negative queries that come. Yes, there are multiple platforms. There are some pure play complaints platforms. We don't really subscribe to those platforms. But if it's on Facebook or Instagram or any of the known social media channels, we definitely get back to the customer. But what you're saying is proactively being visible as having responded to the customer is important. And I take it as a feedback.
Please do. Thank you, sir. One last question from my end. We had discussed about an online consultation mechanism, which I saw being promoted on Kaya page, I think on Instagram. How are we leveraging that to increase our product sales beyond the areas which are covered by our clinic? Are we doing anything there?
So the first step is that we have started the D2C platform, at the end of October last quarter, and we will supplement that with an application which will enable us to do all forms of commerce on that particular platform, which would be product sales, selling consultations, booking appointments. But it's early stage at this stage. Work has already started. So maybe over the next few months, we will definitely complete that work, and that will enable us to be live on online consultations, appointment booking, sale of services and products online. Currently, the website is purely a product website.
Okay. Thank you. One last question. The product sale contribution going forward, like you said earlier, it can be 40-45% in the next 3-5 years. Do we have the same target?
Yeah, we still have a target to increase the sale of products. I think it's been an aberration because of COVID that the percentages have come down. But we do expect both from the online channel and the offline channel, the product mix to actually increase.
Thank you so much, sir, for your answers. All the best for the future.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question.
Hi, sir. This is Sachin here.
Yeah.
So I have few questions. First of all, on this employee side. What we have observed is in discretionary side. So if I look at many industries, like taking from IT or any FMCG industry, the employee costs are increasing very fast. So you just want your feedback. How is your experience right now? So we have especially doctors and these things at our clinics. So is there significant inflation at employee sides or this therapists or doctors? And that side we are witnessing either in India or Middle East.
No, the cost per employee, especially on the front end, that is the clinic operations, both in India and Middle East, has not really seen significant increase. Yes, there is a fight for talent, so quality of people matters. And of course, especially when we hire doctors, depending on the experience that they bring to the table, we negotiate the cost. We also look at the kind of business potential they can bring in and the type of clinics we are putting them in. So we do clusterize our clinics both in India and Middle East, where we decide on the basis of the requirement of the clinic, the quality of the people that we need to bring in, especially the doctors. And we negotiate accordingly. Yes, there is definitely a fight for talent. There's a lot of competition. The cost for specialized talent actually increases. When we look at backend also, there are specialized roles that may be there where, there is a lot of aggression in the market. So, for example, today in digital roles or e-commerce roles and stuff like that, the availability of good talent is not there, and there is definitely a cost implication to getting good quality talent. So that's how I see it.
Sure. And I remember, sir, for last few quarters, we are talking about shifting of clinics. So COVID might be, this lockdown might be the exception, but and more shifts of clinics, so from one place to another, ready, new rent agreements. So in light of that, sir, how is the performance of this newly established, so shifted clinics, and whether these clinics are reaching the revenue levels which earlier clinics were showing?
No, those were a few exceptions, like in Tinagar and Chennai was the only exception in the last maybe 1 year where we have shifted, and the clinic is doing pretty well. What I think the context we discussed was that some clinics have very high rent, and opportunistically, we will look at alternative locations, or for that matter, in some cases where the size of the clinic is large, and we do believe there is no demand for that kind of size, we will reduce the size. But in the last 6 months, 8 months, we've really not done any such changes in India, and I don't think we've done it in Middle East either.
Sure. And the last question, so many discretionary categories have shown strong growth during the quarter. So be it footwear, innerwear, or beauty for that matter. But if I look at the Kaya's numbers, our collection growth is fabulous when 95% of FY20 revenues. But then if I look at the customer count, it is still at low levels at 72%. You think that this, whether third wave, second wave, or the whole episode of COVID, how much time will it take to get back to the pre-COVID levels of customer count? You think that this is a hurdle and then it will take a longer time, or we are right now, the pace is quite stronger to achieve the previous highs?
Yeah, so there is a little bit of a difference because we have two markets and two geographies. I think if you look at the India numbers, we saw about a 9% climb in customer count in India, backed by a strong December. In fact, if you look at the beauty industry numbers, the month of December was not strong. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, there was a negative growth based on REI reports, and we saw a strong growth in the month of December. So there was a steady climb between October, November, and December. Ours is not a very Diwali-centric or a Pujo-centric market because ours is a planned purchase. So December was a strong month. In the case of Middle East, we have seen strong restrictions in certain markets, especially in the month of November, December, because COVID actually struck the market, in the month of December, unlike in the month of India, in the market of India. And that's where I think the December traffic actually took a hit, and that impacted the overall customer traffic for the quarter. So I would say in India, in line with what happened in the rest of the market, we have seen growth. But in Middle East, we haven't seen the growth only because the market has a lot of restrictions during the quarter.
Sir, any clue on this Q4, how Middle East is going to perform? Because margins there, margin drop in Middle East is quite a lot.
I would ask Mr. Rajesh Suri to take that point.
Yeah, so thank you for that. In the situation in Middle East, it all depends on how fast the COVID impact is getting over. It started earlier than India by about 3 to 4 weeks, and so we are hoping that it will also be over sooner than India, and the sales will come back. The issue we've had is in specific cities, Abu Dhabi, Al Ain, Muscat, where to enter the malls now you have to have a PCR test, and the PCR test has to be within the last 14 days, which is causing a big restriction in the number of people entering because no one wants to do a PCR test and go for shopping. So once these barriers are over, we expect the business to come back to normal.
Sure. Thank you, sir. Thanks for your...
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Akhilesh Jain, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. I would like to ask you that...
Sorry to interrupt you, sir. You're not audible. May I request you to speak through the handset? Mr. Jain, can you hear us?
You guys mask people around.
Yeah, your voice is still not audible.
Just one. Am I audible now?
Yeah, thank you. Absolutely.
Yeah, the thing is that my question was that versus to our product, online products, are we planning to just do prescribed products on online, or we are planning to do some generalized products where mass people and the mass youth can use the product?
Yeah.
What's the company strategy on that?
Yeah. So our products are actually not prescription drugs. Our products are cosmeceuticals, while they are developed by dermatologists. So it does have actives in the product, but they are not exactly prescription drugs. So we can sell both online and offline.
So I mean to ask that, the thing is that how does a customer or a person know about the product and its things about it? I mean, in the sense that how do they, you give them the knowledge about the product?
Yeah, so actually we use social media quite extensively, and I think if you go over the last couple of years itself, you'll see a lot of good campaigns run for failure products with a lot of explanations on products. We also use our dermatologists from time to time to explain the benefits of various products. So there are videos created with dermatologists, influencers, and we largely use social media for the purpose. So that's how we explain all our products.
So basically the idea among the people is that it is just for the customized, the Kaya products only for the customized people or the customized clients of Kaya clinics. That is the perception which is going around. So what can be done by the company to give it a mark?
So as I mentioned to you, one is to reach out to the customer through social media, which is very democratized. Secondly, to use dermatologists to demystify sometimes some of the complex products that one may sell. So what is the benefit of retinol, for example, to a customer? It can be explained by a dermatologist in a simple way. We also use a lot of influencers, because influencers have a lot of mass followers. And we actually give them products, they try the products, and then they give their reviews. So those are the ways in which we are reaching out to the masses. And pricing is the last but not the least important thing. Our products are fairly affordable. While they are not the cheapest product, they are quite affordable. So anybody in, I would say, cluster A, cluster B, cluster C towns in India can buy these products. So our strategy in India is like that for products.
Secondly, I would like to ask you about the new product launches, about the body sculpting. How is that progressing, and what are the updates on that?
So we've had very good success in body sculpting in the Middle East for the last 1.5 years more. And we have learned a lot of things from the Middle East market, because that's a very evolved market. And we have tried out a lot of equipment and machinery in the Middle East market before bringing in the technology into India. We are at a trial phase in Delhi right now with about 4 of our clinics running Cool Sculpting, which is a machine from Ellerdan. And that is our beginning for this segment. And we have seen some good initial results in the month of December. And we will scale it up from there. And so it will become a pan-India launch at some point. But we need a little bit more time for trial, and that's why we're waiting. But we have good success on this segment in the Middle East market.
That's it from my side. If I get into the queue, sir.
Yeah, sorry, your voice has again become faint.
Yeah, I'll get back to the queue.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Shrey, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, Rajiv sir. I just had another question. So.
Yes.
When do you expect us to break even? Because there have been a couple of instances in the last couple of quarters where we have sought loan from the promoter. The company has sought loan from the promoter. Do you see that, do you see us becoming profitable? And if yes, what kind of timeline do you think that would take?
Yeah, I think the endeavor is definitely to make the entire chain profitable. I think we did have some hiccups with clinic shutdowns and closures over the last couple of years. So we haven't had a stable period for quite some time in the market. But as I mentioned to you, as the market improved, we also saw strong improvements in the month of October, November, December. We just need a little bit more consistent period of stability. And we do believe in the coming financial year, we will see that kind of stability and hopefully in both the markets if no further rounds of COVID actually hit. And that's our endeavor. On the cost fronts also, we have done quite a lot of work over the last 1 or 2 years' time. So I think from an overall perspective, we are not just concentrating on our top line generation, but also looking at our costs very seriously. So endeavor and efforts are definitely there over the last 1 year, 1.5 years to focus on it. But I think we've been hit a little bit with the market instability because of COVID. But I think we expect the next financial year to be positive.
Okay. And suppose once the market stabilizes, once the COVID restrictions are off, what would be your strategy to kind of get us into an accelerated growth phase where we can be, we can see profitability consistently?
Yeah. So I think there are lots of plans, but unfortunately I cannot discuss that right now as a forward-looking statement. So I won't be able to talk to you at this moment in time on this this. But as quarters unfold over the next few quarters, we can definitely give you a brief on our strategy going forward.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah. Just to conclude, the group is closely monitoring the developments and possible effects that may result from the current pandemic on its financial condition, liquidity and operations, and is actively working to minimize the impact of these unprecedented situations. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Dolat Capital Market Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.